Hey, Amanda here. In today's banger of an episode, we round robin some of our top parenting books for Christians. Several actually are secular, but have great content that we can pull from. So whether you have toddlers to teens, this episode is for you.
Welcome to Book Fair. We help thoughtful women find wholesome, life-affirming books for themselves and their families.
Are you tired of picking up the latest new release and finding it full of junk you don't want in your life? You are in the right place.
This show shares curated content, and we do it together within a fun, book-loving community. So pull up a chair at the table and join the feast.
Hey, it's review time. Time to gather around and hear someone say how much they're enjoying this podcast. So I have here Best App in New York Opinion, or it's NY. Best App in NY Opinion. I just finished the first episode, and this is so good for my heart. These ladies have such a special place in my heart, and I love listening to them chat about one of my favorite things. I can't wait for more. So this is a great reminder that you can join in from the beginning or pick up right where we are. Either one is fine. And we're so grateful for this review, because when you log into the Apple Podcast app and leave us a 5-star review, it lets other people out there that is not a friend of yours, not somebody you've told over coffee, that, hey, this podcast is one you might enjoy. And that's how we get the word out. That is how we reach more people and grow our community. So thank you. Best App in NY Opinion.
That is awesome. And we are going to be giving away not one, but two Book Fair mugs by the end of 2023, one for Thanksgiving, one for Christmas, and you enter that drawing by leaving us a review on iTunes.
A 5-star review.
Just to be clear.
Thank you, awesome. Best App.
Okay, so today our big topic is parenting books. You know, obviously we're all mamas. We've talked about that. We talk about it all the time. It is, you know, we talk about reading with our kids and for our kids and with our kids and all of that, but we have never actually talked about books on the subject of parenting. So today we are going to do a little round robin where we go one at a time around and talk about our favorite parenting books. So Amanda, I'm going to let you go first today.
Okay, I can't believe we've gone this long, 2 years doing the podcast, and we haven't done this topic yet. So throughout these last 2 years, I have mentioned a couple books, Nurture by Nature, and that one is using Myers-Briggs to get to know your kids a little bit better, especially maybe understanding people who are a bit different from you, who happen to be your children. And also Teaching from Rest by Sarah McKenzie. It is, on the face, a homeschooling book, but it's really a parenting book.
It is a parenting book. Agreed.
And both of these are great baby shower gifts, just saying. So I'm not going to talk about those in detail. Those are not my three books, but I wanted to throw those out there again. Okay, so my first book, oh my goodness, does the order, Tricia, in which we say these indicate like a, it's your third and your second?
Our love
and
for them. Yeah. Let's just go random. Let's just go random.
Okay, random. Okay. The Wisdom Pyramid by Brett McCracken.
I've never even heard of that.
Me neither.
Okay, great.
Bring it on.
This was new to me. The Wisdom Pyramid, Finding Your Soul in a Post-Truth World. Okay, it is not explicitly a parenting book, but you're going to see why I chose it for this. So he takes the idea of the food pyramid, you know, the ill-fated government idea of how we should all eat. But it's a great visual. And it gives you a matrix for how you can spend your time and focus to have a better diet and intake of knowledge to pursue wisdom. And this is such a fundamental concept for individuals and for families. And I have to shout out my friend Heather, who recommended it to me. So real quick, the book is divided into two parts. Part one, sources of our sickness, information gluttony, perpetual novelty, and look within, autonomy. Oh, so good. And then the rest of the book is about the sections of the pyramid. So you know how the bottom, the first one, is the biggest and it works its way up to the smallest. And that indicates how much you should be taking in. Of course, the bottom, the one you should have the most of, is scripture. Second, the church, nature, books, beauty, and finally, the internet and social media.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Ben and I, when I pulled this out to do this episode, we looked at it again and thought, oh, you know, we need more. We're kind of off on our nature and beauty intake. So it's really, really helpful for families. Highly recommend.
Wonderful. All right, Elizabeth, you're number one.
Okay, so first one I begin with. So I have Talking with Your Kids About God, 30 Conversations Every Christian Parent Must Have. I did this class, or I did this book with a class, I think last year, and I really enjoyed it. It goes through and lists five sections: the existence of God, science in God, the nature of God, believing in God, and the difference God makes. And then within each of those sections, there are just little conversation starters because, and I would say homeschooling families, but not only just homeschooling families, you're used to teaching through conversation. And this is just conversation starters of how to do that under the subject or the umbrella of our spiritual life, our existence, God, Christian worldview, I would say. It's a shaping for that. But also just setting the foundation that we can talk about anything. You can come to me. I can come to you. We may not always have concrete answers, but we know what direction we're moving. We know where we're giving glory. And it develops within you a practice of continuing to have conversations. Not every conversation is a formal sit down. We're going to talk about this now. But, you know, in the way of Deuteronomy, just as we walk, we are talking about this. And I'm just going to bring this up today really casually, and we're going to chat about it a minute. And it may be long or it may be short, but now I've had this time. So I loved it. Some of them I just saw a minute of like, well, I don't need to talk about that. We talk about that all the time. That's fine. My family may be, and maybe someone else's doesn't, but others of them in here, I thought, oh, that's good. I do need to talk about that. And that one that I really needed to talk about, maybe someone else's family talks about it all the time. So it's a great way that they laid it out. So you can just think through them. And I also think kind of, Amanda, like what you were saying earlier, you might come to this book 10 years later and your list look different of what you're commonly hitting in conversation and what you're not. So it's one that I read a lot of parenting books and then toss them or pass them on, even if I liked them. But it's one I kept so that I could kind of refer back to.
Love it. Is there like a specific like age range or stage of parenting you think it's particularly appropriate
I think it would be great to read early on, but I think you're really going to hit the way this goes. Oh, you know, my kids are chatty. I would guess probably more 10 and on range, but I don't know. Maybe not, because I feel like I was having a lot of these kind of conversations at 5. So it probably just depends on the nature of your family. Read it early and just start when you start.
Yeah.
And these are conversations you can tailor.
Yes, to your age
group. To different ages. Yeah.
Or if you've got a varying age of kids, maybe everyone's jumping in on their own level and you're meeting with a teenager to continue the conversation later.
Love it.
Great. Well, speaking of teenagers, spoiler alert, all three of mine are teenage parenting books. My boys are now 18 and 21. So I feel like it's been forever since I've really
read a parenting book.
Well, like read something that was really meaningful to me, like when they were 5. I feel like those are probably all like outdated now or something. So anyway, but I am going to share my top 3 teenage parenting books. So number 1, Teen Proofing by John Rosemond. I really like John Rosemond. I like a lot of his stuff with some caveats. I mean, you know, you don't agree with everyone all the time. But I will say, even if you read one of his earlier books for like elementary school age kids and there were things you didn't like, I would still give this one a try because his approach to teenagers is so common sense. And he really is focusing in this book on teaching responsible decision-making and behavior in your teenagers. And he is talking about how to adopt a mentoring type stance with your teenage kids. So he says that the mistake that a lot of people make with parenting teenagers is that they either, one, try to continue to be more authoritarian with them, which is appropriate when they're younger, but stops working when they're teenagers, and also doesn't let them develop and exercise their own gifts, talents, and decision-making ability. Or number two, they just start being really permissive and saying, well, they're teenagers, we can't control them anyway, we'll just let it go. Which, of course, you're essentially abdicating your role of guiding and influencing during those years. So he talks about a middle road, which is mentoring. So even if you don't agree with every example he gives or every decision that, you know, he gives examples of things he did with his kids, they may not be things you would do. But I think it is worth a read for the main concept. Teen Proofing by John Rosemond.
Love that. I'm excited to hear all three of these. Our oldest is 14. I can't believe it. And certainly this qualification about you're not going to agree with everything, that this can apply to all of these books, I'm sure, and really any book, especially nonfiction. So, well, guess what? I have a John Rosemond book too. Is it the same?
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Yep, have you read Grandma Was Right After All?
I have heard of that one. I have a friend that really loves it.
The subtitle is Practical Parenting Wisdom from the Good Old Days. So I wrote a little spiel and it came across as a little bit of a commercial, but here we go. Feeling a little countercultural? Don't want to raise your kids the way society says you should? You can do anything you set your mind to. You are special. You have everything you need inside yourself. Trust your heart. Just believe. Good job. 20,000 times a day. These are all lies that have replaced things parents told their children pre-50s and are the result of humanistic psychological theory from the mid-60s. That last sentence was a quote from his introduction. Do things like, because I told you so, children should be seen and not heard, and you're getting too big for your britches, rub you the wrong way? They did me at first when I first read this book, by the way. But I was raised with this postmodern psychological parenting because that's the water we're swimming in. You know, so this book is an attempt to say we've lost some wisdom from the past, and maybe there's actually some times where these things are true or some things that we can learn from this. So it's a handbook to help you, the parent, break out of this thinking, think for yourself, to change how you see the role of the parent and the role of the child. Hmm. And the chapters are, the chapters are things that grandma would say, like, you made this bed and now you're going to have to lie in it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I've said that to my kids. You will have to learn your lessons the hard way. Life's not fair. So all these kinds of sayings that are kind of gone from the common vernacular. So each chapter is pulling the wisdom out of each of those and saying, hey, maybe we should bring some of these back.
Interesting. I have heard good things about that one.
It's good. It's a really, really good one.
Okay, so my number two is, it's a book, but it can also, it could be a book you read on your own, or it can be a workbook that you do with people and even has like an accompanying video series. A lot of people have heard of Growing Kids God's Way, which has been around since the 80s, but it has been redone, reworked, newer videos that aren't denim jumpers, and it's Parenting from the Tree of Life. And I will say, I'm almost annoyed with us for continuing to say, I don't love everything about this book, and we are not going to love everything about any parenting book ever. But if it is driving us to have conversations with ourselves, but even better, with our spouse, it is doing its job. Even if it's, I don't want to do that, it is, the book is good. And Charlie and I had thousands of conversations because of this book. And some of them were, I don't think I want to do that. Oh, I agree. I don't want to either. But a lot of them were, oh, we need to think about that. I wonder how we would implement it. Let's talk that through. And so It's just, it's a book full of conversation starters for you and your spouse. And I loved it. We did it with a community that we're really close with. So there was a lot of disagreement, a lot of people doing things different ways. And then a lot of, yeah, that's really good. How are y'all actually doing that? Because we haven't figured it out yet. So it has a lot of, a little bit what you were saying, Amanda, it seems to go hand in hand with some of the Grandma Was Right things, because this book has some principles that are older in it. But then I also thought that they had more heart communication ways of going about things than some older parenting books that I've read. So for me, it was a marrying of two worlds that I really enjoyed. So it's Parenting from the Tree of Life by Gary and Anne-Marie Ezzo. And I think in the old books, they were the parents teaching you. Now they're like the grandparents who are saying, we really feel like these things worked. We've reworded a little bit for your generation, but it's the same stuff for the most part. So I would invite you to check it out.
That's great.
Love it. Okay. So number two, teenage parenting book, Get Out of My Life. But first, will you drive me and Cheryl to the mall?
That's a book.
That's a book.
Oh,
by Anthony Wolfe.
Word.
That's an amazing title.
What a
yes,
hook.
It is. It wins Best Parenting Book Title Award. This book is not from a Christian perspective. This is written by a psychologist who is an expert both in family culture, but specifically in the teenage brain and teenage psychology. So I have to give, which it makes me really sad that I always have to say this when I recommend this book to someone, a language warning, because one of his things is that teenagers are going to challenge you, especially teenagers of certain personality types. They're going to challenge you. And in the world at large, that will often mean a teenager may cuss when talking to their parents. And he's kind of trying to like get you used to that idea. So one of the things he says is that, this is a quote from the book, perhaps the greatest skill for a parent today is learning not to be hurt. Truly understanding what teenagers say and scream means nothing other than that they are teenagers. And this is how teenagers today behave. Understanding that what they say and what they do in no way diminishes who you are and what you do. Your teenage children cannot diminish you unless you allow them to.
Man, that's great.
So that hit me so hard the first time I read it, because I realized that I was essentially, quote, letting my teenage children hurt my feelings all the time. Yep. And I was like, okay, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. And they're just being teenagers. They're going to push boundaries. They're going to sound off about things. Now, I'm not saying there are things that I would teach respect, and there were things I did not allow even my teenagers to say in my home. So again, I'm not saying all of his conclusions I agree with, but there's a lot of really valuable insight. And the thing that I love about this book is he takes the teenage years and puts it into sections. So like the early teenage years, the middle, and the later. And he talks about the specific psychology and like what's happening in their brain and their social development and what you're likely to see at those times. And girls, the first time I read it, I was like, has he been videotaping in my house? I could not believe how accurate it was. Like I remember one thing, I think it's the middle teenage years about boys, and there's a section for boys and a section for girls. Guess what? They're not the same.
Very good.
It said something like, I should have looked up this quote. When they're at home, teenage boys are constantly seeking a state of passive physical comfort. And I was like, yes, yes, they are. This is what they do all the time. They go out and do all these things. They do school, they do sports, they do music, you know, blah, blah, blah. But they get home and all they want to do is be passive and comfortable. Why? Well, he explains why. He explains why and how you can encourage things and how you can deal with it. So I found it to be extremely helpful and I highly recommend it.
Sounds good.
Interesting. Oh, not there yet, but I'm there. Okay. I will say, because I've talked about Bryce before, he's the one that's 14, and he's been joking. Like he will say something jokingly and then say, I'm in my rebellious phase.
Oh, that is the best humor.
Yeah, we're having a lot of fun with that. Okay, my final book, and I think This one probably has the concepts, maybe other than the Myers-Briggs concepts, that has fundamentally helped my parenting, especially when they're younger. And I'm so thankful I found this. It's called Laying Down the Rails, a Charlotte Mason Habits Handbook. I've mentioned Charlotte Mason before, but she talks about the concept of habits and that that is a big part of what parenting is that you're teaching your children habits. And I had never thought of parenting in that way. And this book is from Simply Charlotte Mason. It's by Sonia Schaefer. And those of you in these circles know those names. And Charlotte Mason wrote 6 volumes, and what she talks about overlaps in all of them. So Sonia has pulled out all the things about habits and put them in one place and organized. So it's a lot of Charlotte Mason's words, and then it's a lot of Sonia Schaefer's words also. And Charlotte Mason talked about that there's types of habits, which y'all know how I like to organize and categorize things. So I love this. But she talks about how to do it. She talks about there's decency and propriety habits, like cleanliness, courtesy, kindness, those kinds of things. Mental habits, like imagining, memorizing. Moral habits, such as integrity, personal initiative, physical habits, fortitude, music, self-discipline. There's a lot more. I'm just saying examples from these chapters. And religious habits, Thanksgiving, reverent attitude, and so forth. And I have used this book. I have come back to it over and over, like, oh, I've got one that needs some fortitude so I can go back and look at this. But what has impacted me the most is she talks about there are 3 habits that all children need to learn first. They are attentiveness, obedience, and truthfulness. You really can't work with them without those. That's why toddlers are difficult, because you can't, you know, although you can start to teach these things even when they're toddlers. And she says attentiveness needs to come before the other two. Because if they can't hear you,
I totally
they
see
can't
that.
Obey. Yeah. So this was a really, really big light bulb moment for me. And it reminded me I have to be attentive to them and not throw orders over my shoulder as I'm doing the dishes. I have to first show them my attentiveness and then insist on theirs. Like in our home, there is no walking away while I'm talking to them. And there is no throwing answers to me over their shoulder. These are forms of respect and attentiveness.
But you model it first.
Yeah. But also, like, if I'm going to tell them something to do that I need them attentive for, I need to be sure my feet are still and my eyes are on them, you know,
right,
before I ask them, remind them your feet need to, you know, because sometimes they're moving too much and, you know, like put all those things down and just, you know, be still for a second. Listen to me, you know, kind of situation. So this was just, I highly recommend this. You don't have to be a homeschooler. Again, this is really about training habits for children, parenting book more than a homeschooling book. Although, as we say, homeschooling is really parenting on steroids. So there's that aspect too.
Excellent. All right, Elizabeth, do you have another one?
Well, I don't have another one that I've read, but I have another one that I have ordered, and I thought I'd give it a plug because it's a new release. It's on the New York Times bestsellers right now. It is Good Inside by Dr. Becky Kennedy. I have followed her Instagram page for about 2 years, and I appreciate her methods so much. She taps into a little bit what you were saying, Tricia, about telling the parent where their job and their worth is first and normalizing kids are going to have some behavior. Now, here is what you do. And she role plays through her Instagram videos. And so she gave a TED Talk that really blew up. I'm sure it was well timed by her publicist right before her book release. And I have just loved almost all of what I've heard her say. And she is secular. I have no idea if she's a believer or not. That does not come into play through her teachings of parenting and how to deal with children. But I have loved the way that she has thought through and and articulates for the parent that, yes, they are going to do this. This is not where they are going to live. This is where they are right now. Here's where you step in and help. And here's how you do it. And it's sometimes just as simple as letting them know in a better way that you like their drawing or their Lego creation, instead of saying, oh, that's cool. She has a thing that's like a list of questions to ask. Tell me, how did you think to make that? Which validates their process, not their outcome. And so you're instilling into them things like work ethic, not just did I pass or fail. So it's these little ways of bringing these big concepts into your home. And I have loved every bit. So anyway, it's ordered. It's coming to me. I think I'm going to love it. I'm going to go on and just put it out here now.
I love the idea that you have to have realistic expectations for these little people that you have, that they need lots of training. They need lots of coaching, and for years and years. And there are times when the coaching is very intensive. You know, yeah. And it's the measure of success, especially in those times, is not, are they going to be needing coaching? It's your reaction to it.
Yeah.
And one thing I love about a book list like this, and why I love getting recommendations from different people about topics like parenting, is because even within your own family, like, you might read a book and some of the things in it may work great with your first child.
Yeah.
And then the second child comes along and that strategy is not working. And I am all about finding something that works. I mean, within the confines of your overarching values, of course.
Sure.
But sometimes something will work in one season or with one kid, and then in another season, it doesn't work. So I think it's great to have a wide variety of ideas and voices and things that are, we are constantly learning how to be good parents.
Agree. Mm-hmm. And I will just quote Trisha's in-laws saying that it is not too late. It is not too late if you have a 40, how old is Brett? 40 whatever year old. They still talk about ways to continue to be a good parent. And I always feel like that's so encouraging, because I might read a book and say, oh no, one's out of my house and I didn't get to do that. But I can still do it in whatever way is appropriate, as I also begin doing it with my 9-year-old. So sometimes these books can be so discouraging because you can think it's too late, and it is never too late to reach out in relationship.
That's how I always feel like about 1,000 hours outside. I'm like, I missed it. I failed completely.
But you can invite your children, grown as they are, on a walk outside today.
That's
You're
right.
allowed this to. It is a free country.
This Thanksgiving, we are doing hiking the day after Thanksgiving.
I love
so,
it.
You know,
great.
It's never too late.
It's never too late. I didn't want us to have that without the famous Ed and Jeannie Culp's "It's Never Too Late" talk.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. Yeah. I feel like we should have saved that for the very end, but we have one more book to discuss. Last teenage parenting book is called Secrets of the Teenage Brain by Corwin. There is now a second edition out. And again, this is a book that focuses on the actual neuroscience of the teenager's growing and developing brain. And it is actually written for teachers and educators. But as you just said, Amanda, all parents are teachers and educators, whether you are homeschooling or not. I never homeschooled, but I definitely educated my children.
Right.
So there are so many like jokes and riffs and memes out there about teenagers and how volatile they are and how difficult they can be and all of those things. And that is true, but it is really because of the huge changes that are going on in their brains. And there are certain stages where when you understand what's actually happening to their brain, it just gives you so much more grace and understanding for where they are. Because it is so easy to just feel like, what is wrong with you? Like, there were so many times when I felt like, wait a minute. Like you said, Amanda, you do all of this training and teaching when they're young, toddlers, then preschoolers, then elementary school kids. And then you have these very functional, lovable, endearing upper elementary school children. And then all of a sudden they're in junior high and you're like,
what happened?
Why did you forget everything I ever taught you?
Yeah.
What is going on? Like, we have to do all of this again. And it's because of their brain. It's just because of their brain. And you do have to, in some ways, go back and reteach them as they are becoming adults. My pet name for it is, like, they're babies when they're infants, right? You know, you have a baby and then you have a toddler and then you have a preschooler. Well, then they hit the teenage age and then they're a baby adult.
I
have said giant toddler for preteenage.
Yes. And then they're a giant toddler. Then they're a preschool adult. Then they're a school age. It's like they go through the same stages again.
Yes.
As they go toward adulthood.
I totally agree. I love that thinking. Mm-hmm.
And this book will help guide you through those stages.
You know, this makes so much sense. Because Ben and I have noticed, and we always joke and have had this common language to use, that whenever they're little and they go through a growth spurt, it seems like their brain also grows. Their brains go through growth spurts as well.
Yep.
And it's kind of like they have this wall and they can just see over the other side into the great wide world. And every time they go through a growth spurt, they can see over it a little bit more. And they have to process that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they will challenge boundaries all over again. And you kind of have to tighten things up and retrain, or more intensive coaching during those times. And so with all the hormones and whatnot with teens, it makes sense that it's a really big leap. And you saying it kind of corresponds to those stages all over again with the infant, preschool, et cetera. That really makes a lot of sense. Wow. Well, I think this is a banger of a list.
Yeah, it is.
And there are so many great parenting books that we didn't even bring up. So parents, just be encouraged. God is with you. Lean on Him. And there's another good book, The Power of a Praying Mother. You just pray. Pray for them. Pray for yourself. And don't react. And limit screens. Okay.
Okay, that was a wrap up.
I had to say it. So, Psalm 127, 3 through 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. So we're with you, mamas and dads that are listening. We're with you.
And we know that a lot of you know other great parenting books. So head on over to the Book Fair group on Facebook, and there will be a post of discussion about this episode. And please share with us all of your great parenting book recommendations. Or like Elizabeth said, if you have people you follow on social media or any parenting tools that you want to share with our group, please do that. And until next time, I'm Trisha.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Elizabeth.
And happy parenting reading. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this, subscribe to Book Fair Podcast.
Join our private Facebook group. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram, or email us at chat@bookfairpodcast.com.
And you can help us continue to grow. Share an episode with a friend, mention us on social media, and leave a review in your podcast app. We'll see you next Tuesday.